Welcome back to Not 97. On today's episode, we're joined by London's own Shea Universe. We sat down with Shea back in February when she was in the midst of releasing her Valentine's Day album, Love's Letter. We talked through the record and why this moment was important to put out a call for self-love. We tap into Shea's history of going viral with covers on Twitter, how she's gotten iconic features through genuine organic connection, and what it means to work with the one and only Layla Hathaway. Shea also treats us to a powerful in-studio performance of her song Passenger Princess, live from the studio and brought to you by The Orchard and Human Resources. This is not a podcast. This is not a radio show. This is Not 97. Enjoy. Shea Universe.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to Not 97.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
Yeah, welcome to New York.
Thank you.
How's your day going?
It is going amazing, honestly. I just performed for The Orchard and it went so amazing. Had like a little Q&A. It was vibes.
Yeah. Shout out to The Orchard.
Shout out to The Orchard.
Before we get into all my questions, do you mind quickly just introducing yourself to everybody?
Yeah.
A little bit about who you are and where you're from.
Of course. My name is Shea Universe. I'm a singer, a songwriter, and a businesswoman. And I'm originally Nigerian, but I'm based in London in the UK. And I'm here in New York on a press run leading up to the release of my second project, which is called Love's Letter. Super excited.
I know we have a lot to get into. Speaking of Love's Letter coming out on Valentine's Day.
Yep.
But before we get into all of that, I do want to take it back a little bit. I know you grew up kind of around the church and singing and had experiences with music from an early age. And I'm wondering, looking back on kind of those memories and those experiences, when did you start to kind of find confidence in your voice as kind of a real means of expression?
Wow, that's such a beautiful question. I don't think I've ever been asked that before, but I'm so glad you asked that because I was just talking to someone literally like half an hour ago about how when I first started singing or realized I could sing, I actually felt really insecure about my voice because of the tone of voice I have. It's quite soft. It's quite, you know, I always wanted to like be able to belt like the Whitney Houstons and stuff. And it took me a while to come into that. But when I did and realized that actually my tone is what makes me unique in this industry, I think that was probably, I want to say like 2017, I started doing covers on Twitter. So that's how I started. And through my covers on Twitter, people like they just would go viral at the time. And that's how I found out that, wow, I actually have an audience, you know, for my sound. So that kind of brought me out of the whole insecurity thing and made me realize like, wow, I actually have like, there's people in the world that want to hear my voice, you know? So I would say 2017 is when I really stepped into just owning the uniqueness of my voice, of my tone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. I know you also went to drama school.
Yeah, I did. Right. Okay. You did your research. We love that.
Like, I'm curious about that because was that kind of brought on by a interest in kind of going into theater and going into drama?
Yes, it was. I've always just loved all the arts, honestly. Singing is the thing that's paved the way for me the fastest. And honestly, now I can say, yeah, okay, I feel like I was called to sing for sure. But growing up, I just love performance. I love singing. Yeah. I love dancing. I love acting. And so I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to be, I guess you could say a triple threat, but I didn't know which of those would be like my strongest point. But I love all of them and I have a passion for all of them. I still want to go into acting if I can at some point, you know, like crossover somehow, feature in some movies or something. So yeah, it's a passion of mine too.
Yeah. What do you think, like looking back on kind of going to school and learning about drama and everything, what do you think like you still pull from that for your performance?
So much. Drama school, university changed my life. It equipped me with everything that I am exuding right now, literally, from my ability to project my voice to the back of the room, to how to deal with different types of people, to how to maintain eye contact.
Yeah.
Before drama school, I was here. I was always looking at the ground. I just, you know, just a shy person. Drama school made me be up here, eyes always engaged. Like, it taught me so much. Yeah. I feel like that really actually gave me the foundation for the performer I am right now. So big up my drama school. I went to Rose Bruford in Sidcup. I love you guys.
Shout out. I can imagine that's a huge leg up, just having that as a foundational experience.
Absolutely.
For, yeah, like you're saying, like any sort of this interview type stuff, performance, just being in the studio singing, like I'm sure.
And I just want to say or add to that as well. I feel like it's a subconscious thing. When you have the training yeah. inbuilt in you, sometimes I surprise myself. Like when I watch myself back public speaking, I'm like, wow, you look really comfortable. You look really confident. And those are things I adopted or took on from drama school, you know? So it paid off for sure.
Yeah. You mentioned kind of those Twitter covers.
Yeah.
That, you know, was a lot of the internet's introduction to you.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of like that was creating these moments where Stormzy saw them or Chance the Rapper saw them. And I wonder what, you know, what those moments meant for you at that time and kind of looking back, what it still means for you.
You know what? I think that going so viral so early in my career, it was really a big blessing now that I look back at it, because it made me realize that you can have moments, but that's not going to like give you the blow. No one's going to yeah. hand you your success. You know, you're still going to have to put in the work. You're still going to have to work from the ground up. It's just good. It's like a little like affirmation on your shoulder of you're doing the right thing. And if you keep at this, you're going to become a star. But it taught me from very early on, like not to get too caught up with like the clout of everything. You know, I think especially now with all the viral moments on TikTok, clout is a big thing. When you're going viral, it's like, oh my gosh. But longevity is deeper than virality. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like virality is a moment thing. And I think I learned that from very, very early on. You can have a moment, but to establish a lifelong, timeless legacy is something that's going to take time. And yeah, however, those moments, they still mean a lot to me now. You know, it's cool to be able to say, oh, Stormzy liked my, or Chance yeah. the Rapper liked my, yeah. but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those Twitter covers also, you know, you were kind of hiding your face. And doing it just kind of like from the neck down. I wonder what was the reasoning for that, and when, what was the turning point where you were like, actually, like, I can bring my face into the light?
You know what? I started to do those covers without showing my face just because, like, I honestly just wanted the focus to be on my voice. Like,
yeah.
I found Twitter to be quite a scary place at the time. I was just like, I just don't want any other extra anything that I don't need. People already look for things on Twitter to talk about, to pinpoint, to criticize. So I was like, listen, I'm giving you my voice and purely my voice. If you're going to criticize anything, you're going to criticize how my neck looks.
Yeah.
what is there to say? So, yeah.
You know, right after that, you had kind of the first official single, Big Mistake, with Miss Banks.
Wow, Big Mistake. That's a throwback.
And I, you know, maybe off of those, like, the Twitter virality, but, like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that was, like, a connection through a DM?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was a connection through a DM.
And I feel like a lot of your collaborations, you've talked about how they're just, like, DMs.
Super organic.
Yeah.
Super, super organic. I'm blessed to be able to say that. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's, like, a favor or my life. I don't know what it is, but every single person I've collaborated with, it's never been no like industry, like business stuff. It's literally been, I mess with you, I like your music, I think you're gifted, let's work together.
Yeah.
And we're both on the same page. And I think that's the way I prefer to work.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of in your opinion, or for you as an artist, like what do you seek out to make like a strong collaboration?
What do I seek out?
Or what is a strong collaboration to you?
A strong collaboration to me is two people coming together and still embracing their individuality. So it's like, we're not merging together and becoming the same person. I'm still allowed to be me. You're still allowed to be you. But we cultivate a space where we can both exist in that, you know?
Yeah.
That's what collaboration is to me. Yeah.
Yeah. You spoke earlier today, you know, when you were speaking to The Orchard about being a hands-on artist. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was interesting when I was like reading about your career, you spoke about a moment when you started managing yourself. You had like gone through management and started managing yourself. And I know as an artist manager myself, like how much work that is. And I wonder kind of looking back on that moment, how far you've gotten from there. But like looking back on your time managing yourself, what you learned from that moment and what kind of stays with you today?
I've learned so much from managing myself. So much. The list is just is endless. But I feel like the most important thing I learned, I managed myself for coming up to 5 years before I finally found like the manager I have now. And I think probably the most important thing I learned in that time is to just be thorough with your business. You know, it's not easy. There's so many different moving bits and parts, but to be as thorough with your business as you can, because especially when you're actually going somewhere that is, when you're going somewhere, like it's going to shoot you in the foot at some point. It's going to come back to bite you at some point if you're not thorough with what you're doing, you know? So being thorough with my business, I think, is probably the biggest lesson I learned from managing myself.
That's real. Let's, you know, get into the new project a little bit. Love's Letter.
Yes.
I've heard you speak about kind of the theme of, you know, facing love, self-love, and kind of embracing yourself. And I wonder kind of what your experience has been over the last couple of years that took you to this moment of, you know, wanting to present a project that speaks to loving yourself.
You are really asking the questions today, boy.
We're not playing around here.
You're not playing around at all. What brought me to this place of writing a project that is centered around loving yourself? That is a deep question. And I've never really thought about that, you know, but I think being the eldest sibling in a Nigerian household, being a woman, has shaped me in certain ways. I love my family, by the way, love them to bits, and they've done their absolute best to raise me to the highest standard. And I feel like I've turned out an amazing woman, if I do say so myself. But there's definitely certain things, you know, that came with being the eldest sibling, with being a woman, with coming from a Nigerian background where like there's just a lot of ways in which I honestly didn't love myself. I was always super self-conscious, you know, I was always like, self-conscious is the word, super self-conscious. And then you get into a position where your gift starts to pave the way for you, right? And you realize like, whoa, all these people are looking at me. Like, I need to actually love myself. Otherwise, it's going to be mental torture every time I step in front of a camera. Every time I step on a stage, I'm going to be looking at myself. And the first thing I'm thinking is criticizing how I look or criticizing how I... It's exhausting. That, I realized that at a time when I started to, you know, edge a bit more towards a spotlight. And I guess this project is really a reflection of the growth I've made as a person. You know, it was a process to come from criticizing my every little everything to now just accepting who I am and just being and enjoying that.
Yeah.
So I think that this project is really a reflection of how far I've come. And I want to thank you for asking me that question, because I hadn't reflected on that until this moment right now. So thank you.
Thank you for that answer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah. I appreciate it. I think that actually like is a beautiful segue into my next question about the intro of the album that features your mother. Speaking about kind of what you had spoken about before, where, you know, she talks about how you're blessed that you weren't an overnight success,
mm-hmm.
and that you were able to like find your voice without, what is the line? My identity doesn't come from your definition of
me. Right.
Which is a bar.
A bar. Shout out my mom.
But like, I guess, can you speak a little bit about maybe one, your relationship with your mom and what inspired you to want to include her on the record like that?
Yeah. Okay. So my relationship with my mother is phenomenal, honestly, with both my parents. I have like a super, super close relationship with my whole family. We were raised in like, you know, super close-knit love till this day. You know, we always tell each other we love each other. Like, it's just lovely to be around. But I have a really close relationship with my mom. And in terms of how she came to be on this project, so I'm on this intro. I wrote the intro in 2017, actually. And I wrote it with the intention of it being an intro to a project, but I just didn't follow through the idea of the project at the time.
Yeah.
And then years later, now I'm here with Love's Letter. I remembered that song and I was like, wait, this feels right. I put it in the like sequence of the track list, and I was like, yeah, no, this is the one. And sometimes I like to record conversations that I have with people just in my daily life. It could be my mom, it could be my friend. If I just feel like, oh wow, this conversation, not necessarily even for songs or music, if I feel like this is a conversation I'm gonna want to come back to and like listen back to some of the gems that they've dropped, I'll just start recording.
Yeah.
And so I did that in a conversation I was having with my mom, and she just happened to drop the maddest bars. And it just made sense. And I put it on the the start of the intro, and I was just like, wow, this is, it was just all meant to be, you know? So that's kind of how it came about. Yeah.
No, it's a beautiful introduction.
Thank you.
Yeah. Really, like, your mom is featured on the first song, and really the one of the only other features is Layla Hathaway.
Yes, sir.
And obviously that's like a huge, an icon.
Icon.
And what I love about that is that you also have a recording of her just speaking to you.
Yeah.
On there. And I kind of wonder, one, maybe that collaboration is just as organic in the DMs as the rest, but kind of like what it meant to have someone like that co-sign, have them on the track and like kind of bless the project.
I think that there's so many, there's so many artists that could have, you know, get co-signed me, that have co-signed me, honestly, in the past. But I feel like Layla Hathaway was so significant because Layla Hathaway comes from a different generation than me. You know, she is like the Brandies of the world respect her.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I mean? So it's like, it's a different, it's a, just a whole different ball game. And I feel like when me and her crossed paths, it really felt like a baton was being handed down. Like, this is, you know, older generation R&B, neo soul, and I'm passing that baton on to you to make this next gen like super proud. And that's what made the feature and her presence on the project so special.
Yeah. You know?
I feel like she's literally given me this like responsibility to just go forth and just make her and everybody proud. And I'm ready to do so.
Yeah. I love that. Before we get into a new song of yours, I did want to ask you, because I read something about you that I thought was very interesting, that you started vocal coaching.
Yeah. Wow, I've never been asked about this before.
And I wonder if you can talk about what it's been like teaching voice and kind of what you've learned from the process of being a vocal coach.
Teaching voice. Honestly.
Or what inspired you to like...
to do it.
Yeah.
Well, number one, my university degree was what inspired me to do that. They like literally spent like a whole, I guess like basically a whole module on voice work and just like the different techniques, how to breathe, how to sit, like how to project, all those things. So like that's the thing that initially equipped me with the tools to start vocal coaching. But then I guess like, I don't know, it was just seeing that or realizing that people trust in my ability to lead them, you know, on their vocal journeys. Like that's something that's so special. And that really made me realize like how much weight I hold in this thing, you know? Because at the end of the day, we're all humans. And I know who I am. I know I'm Shea Universe, right? But I'm also still a human being, you know, just like everybody else. So when I realized, wow, other people actually trust me to entrust me to like take them on this vocal journey, I was like, okay, we're really doing this. It was a beautiful thing. And honestly, I just love helping people. I love helping people, and I love the sparkle in their eyes when they really notice like, whoa, I couldn't hit this riff like a month ago and now I'm doing it. Like that brought me so much fulfillment. I honestly would have continued doing it if not for my own career taking off and just not really having the time for it anymore. But yeah, it was super, super fulfilling.
So now we'd like to give you space to introduce one of your own songs. And then if you would be so kind, we'd love for you to perform it for us.
Absolutely.
So if you don't mind, tell us what song you're going to perform and kind of give a little background about where that song comes from.
Cool. So the song I'm about to perform for you guys is called Passenger Princess. It's not about what a lot of people think it's about. Honestly, I wrote it at a time when I was torn. I was torn between going back to my ex and standing my ground and upholding my boundaries. But it's called Passenger Princess because I used to, you know, ride around in his car, and that those moments were the moments that I reflected on the most when I was in this torn position. So yeah, it's called Passenger Princess. It's one of my favorite songs on a project, and I hope that you guys enjoy it.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We appreciate you. Let's get into it.
Hey guys, my name is Shay Universe, and this is Passenger Princess for Not 97. Yeah, I saw your roses this morning, a fresh reminder of all the times you lied, the times you were hiding.
You know, I tried to tell him, like, I tried to work with him, I tried to work with him.
What's it gonna take me to break your memory loose, babe? I swear I'm trying to break free, but your love won't leave. With your pretty little lies, the way you loved her, I looked in your eyes. Hands on my waist, move them down to my thighs. I never played about you.
I just don't understand why you didn't appreciate me when you had me.
Now we're both stuck in the time lapse, wishing I could turn the clock back. I know you're gonna miss how I did it like that. Is it too? I can't run from the truth. I've decided. Front seat with you while we riding. My mind, it goes back in time. And right now, I can't break down. So I just reminisce now. It's bittersweet. Back seat with you on my mind. And know my style, just how I liked it. It's such a shame, but I can't blame you for trying with me. I would try to if I lost out on a love like mine, I'd cry too. Yeah, it hurts so bad, but who did that? You can't complain, you can't be mad, boy. Maybe we should face the facts that love just isn't enough. With your pretty little the way you love, how I looked in your eyes. Hands on my waist, move them down to my thighs. I never played about you.
I just don't understand why you didn't appreciate me when you had me.
Now we're both stuck in the time lapse, wishing I could turn the clock back. I know you're gonna miss how I did it like that. I miss it too, I can't run from the truth. I've decided. Front seat with you while we riding. My mind, it goes back in time. And right now, I can't break down. So I just reminisce now. It's bittersweet. Back seat with you on my mind. And I know. Front seat with you while we riding. My mind, it goes back in time. And right now, I can't break down. So I just reminisce now. It's bittersweet. Back seat with you on my mind. And